a great day for many reasons. I can hear you better because I finally found my headphones after missing them for 2 weeks and being a stubborn old man and refusing to buy new ones for $20. I don't do the super expensive headphones like a lot of my colleagues do. Because much like sunglasses, I don't buy expensive headphones. I don't buy expensive sunglasses because I will lose them. My sunglasses come from either gas stations or if I'm at a golf tournament, they're giving them away. I don't spend more than like $15 on sunglasses. I lose them.
I finally, a couple years ago, invested in a pair of expensive sunglasses.
Yeah, you still have them?
No.
Okay.
I had them for a little over a year.
Sure.
And then left them while under the influence at a wedding. And that was a bummer. So I bought some new ones very shortly after that and have had them for like over 2 years now.
I'm sure this exists, but I wonder if there is a, and if not, there should be. Shouldn't there be like a pair of sunglasses that you can charge and like maybe you press a button and it gives you like updated weather and stuff? But more importantly, you can track them on your phone. Like if you lose your sunglasses, it's like find my iPhone. Oh, hey, there! I left them at Fred's house. I don't know. I can't do that. My brother buys $300 or $200 Oakleys.
Hell yeah!
I can't. No way. I will lose them every time. These headphones gone for 2 weeks. I use station headphones, which is gross. For 2 weeks, very angry.
See, I'm wearing, my headphones were just shy of $200.
Oof.
But I got that Amazon deal where I got them for like $50.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah, dude, it was awesome. I think it might have been Cyber Monday a few years back. But yeah, I've had these for like 3 or 4 years now.
I'd go $50 on headphones.
Yeah,
that's about the max.
For some really nice headphones, I'm in.
Turns out my daughter grabbed them out of my bag to plug them into her iPad that she's not supposed to. It's iPad. It's a little rinky-dinky
tablet.
And Amazon tablet, because she didn't want anyone to know she was using it at night, and then she forgot she took my headphones. I found them underneath her bed last night. Why was I underneath my daughter's bed? Well, I was chasing her guinea pig, and then, oh, hey, there's my headphones. Oh, Daddy, I don't think that was me. Okay, yeah, your mother, your little brother took my headphones and stored them.
I know where to put these.
Little kids suck at, and I guess it's a good thing that they suck at lying and excuses. They're just terrible.
Hey, does your daughter do this thing? Because my niece did this.
Mm-hmm.
Where she would be telling me about like a video she saw on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I would be like, oh, that's funny. Like, oh, and I'd kind of be like into the story. And she'd see that I was really into it. And so she'd start embellishing it with lies.
100%. My daughter's favorite thing is to tell us about the dream she had the night before. But apparently my daughter is the one person on earth that has perfect recollection of 100% of her dream. And it ends up being like a 30-minute story. And it's tough when you have your child who just wants to spend time with you and get a little bit of attention and interact. And it's very important to do that.
They want to feel like an adult.
Exactly. It's very important to give them that attention. But my daughter will go on for 20 minutes. And so I have to, like, find a way, because what I want to do is say, shut up.
It's like, there's nothing you're going to tell me that is important to my life.
At all. And
unless you're sick or you're hurt.
Correct. Or nothing, you have money for me.
Right. Nothing you say is going to impact me.
And by the way, I'm right in the middle of watching Deep Space Nine, and you're in the middle of the TV. But you, this is part of raising a child. So I have to find different, like, I'll find ways to interact with her story and then distract her from telling the story and then move on to something else, hopefully, like a chore. Anyways, that's not what I want to talk about in this segment. This one segment a day that I have to be 100% selfish. I want to talk, Kyle, about what is stressing me out right now. And this is one of those times where I'm really glad I have a radio show because I can share with people. At 44-11-40 and 339-11-40. We are having a New Year's party December 31st of all days. And my wife is in charge of this party. This is my wife's decision to have this party. my wife is putting this party on. Obviously, we've been married 10 years. Most of our friends, if not all of them, are mutual friends by this point. It is an incestuous group of losers and weirdos that all fit in perfectly with us. My wife's idea is to bring everybody over. She's inviting like 20 people. I am not a party thrower. Parties stress me out unless I'm attending them. And even attending parties, I get a little stressed out because it's way too much. I would rather socialize in a group of 5,000 people at a ball game than socialize with 20 people. Very, very, it stresses me out. But my wife has decided that we haven't had a party in 2 or 3 years, and she wants to do a New Year's get-together. So she did the Facebook thing, because that's what you do now. And she created the group and invited the people. And then the ones that aren't on Facebook, she called. And it's a group of people that mostly know each other. And her idea is to just have people come over and set out like a meat and cheese tray, ask them to bring apps, which is what she put in there. Not from the app store.
Apps. The Cash App.
Right.
KHCK app.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Angry Birds. No, she wants them to bring appetizers. That's what she said. Come out for fun and hijinks or whatever at, you know, our house and do this thing and blah, 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 and whatever. And that bothers me because I think in order to have a successful party, you need to have a little bit of organization. First off, when you tell your friends, especially my group of friends, and I don't know how your group of friends is. I mean, you, Kyle, or you people listening. You people. But if you tell my group of friends, bring an appetizer, we're going to have 16 bags of chips and salsa that they got from AMPM. That's what, so have people sign up for different appetizers. So you have a selection. That's number one. Number two, I am the woman of the house. And I say that in air quotes because those are stereotypes. I'm happily break through that stereotype. Whereas my wife is like, come on over. There's booze. Who cares? I'm like, dude, the house needs to be clean. There's like a hair on the bathroom sink. I'm freaked out. And we need to have a lot of food out or people are going to think we're losers. So I'm the one. I'm cooking all day, putting stuff together. I really stress out about this stuff.
Sure.
I want people to think that I live in a clean house. And that we have plenty of finger foods available at all times.
When you say you're cooking all day, I'm imagining you like, I'm opening bags of Tostitos. Yeah. I'm pouring salsa in bowls.
No, I have
Kyle. You cook.
This is the side
seven
of me
layer dips
that I don't let out too often on the radio.
Let it rip.
I have a triple crock pot for everything from meatballs with jelly to
little smokies
to a Rotel cheese dip. Spinach artichoke dip. There will be meat and cheeses that aren't just put. I don't just dump them
Gouda?
Out. You will have smoked Gouda. You will have pepper jack. You will have. I do a white smoked cheddar, which is amazing. I don't like to bring color into it, though. Let's just move
you
on.
You do a smoke. You smoke.
No, I don't smoke it.
Oh, okay.
I smoke things. I don't smoke. No,
sure.
You go to the store. And it's a big Tillamook thing.
Sure.
It's in a black label. And you peel back the label, and it's white smoked cheddar. It's very good. Anyways, I told her first off, I said, I need a list of all the people that you're bringing because they're not all on Facebook. I need to know because I need to understand the group. I need to know, does this person not like this person? Who is it? What type of people do we – I know all these people so I can plan on who's here and who's not, any potential issues. My biggest nightmare is to have people over at my house on New Year's and have like 3 or 4 people on the side, or God forbid more, that music is playing and they're just kind of sitting there on their phones, just bored. So I said, listen, we need to have an optional group of activities to do during this party. We're going to have one room set up. We're going to have our karaoke machine going. You want to go in there, you want to sing karaoke, hey, go for it.
Love it.
Don't have to. It's not American Idol. We're not trying to discover your talent. Go in there and sing Baby Got Back and have fun with it. So, of course, there will be one of my friends is going to bring his sister, and his sister is usually S-housed 2 hours into the party, and she's going to be the one in there grabbing the second microphone and thinking everyone needs backup.
Perfect.
That's her. That's going to happen.
That's her niche at the party. She knows her role. Love it.
My wife thinks that you can just set out the booze and let people get hammered and everything will be fine. But what ends up happening is my wife gets hammered and I, who don't really drink, will be rushing around trying to make sure everyone's having a good time and trying to be a good host. So I told her we need to have an Olympics. We need to get a couple of fun trophies or prizes. I'd like to get those giant stuffed animals that you win at a circus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but are actually $6. Right. I'd like to get a couple of those and some other things and set up like a New Year's Eve Olympics where you have you could even throw karaoke in there. You could play Flip Cup. You could play Cards Against Humanity. You could roll dice. I don't know. But I do
know. You could play Russian roulette.
No. Fake news. We don't do Russian roulette anymore. It's world roulette. I guess what I'm trying to ask the audience, you and any of my pseudo family and friends listening right now, and all of your family to me. I know I'm weird, and I know I overthink things, and I know I'm a bit manic. But I look at a party much like I look at, surprisingly, this radio show. I don't care, and I'm lazy. I over-prep because I may not get to all the prep, but the prep is there
sure. In
case I need to fall back. Is it weird for me to stress out about this? My wife, calm down. Dude, I'll handle everything. No, she will not. I've been there. So between now and New Year's Eve, I'm going to be compiling lists, coming up with activities, because I just so badly want people to have a good time. It's very important to me. That's a little anal, isn't it?
It is. Okay. We gotta go.
We got a big show today. Matt Barrow is gonna join us at 7:35.
I'm just over here maniacally refreshing my Facebook page waiting on my invite.
Kyle, I could do the whole damn hour on this. That's a whole different thing I was talking about last night. I was about to go to break now.
No, you got to go to break. We can talk about it off air.
If I brought a new person over, that throws a whole thing. Because now, Kyle, I would be more concerned about your good time than any of my other loser friends.
Good.
And I say loser friends with love, that I've known for decades. All I would want is to make sure you had a good time, which probably means I would overhang out with you. You'd be like, okay, dude, I get it. You would see a side of me you've never seen before if that happened.
Oh, okay.
So you're more than welcome to come. Please don't come.
No.
Today, Matt Barrow's going to join us at 7:35. We're going to talk Kings Timberwolves tonight. Oh, hey, the Colts and Broncos are playing. My God, I can't wait. And I'm going to tell you why Scott Boris from Elk Grove, super agent, called the Marlins a fire sale. I'm going to tell you why Scott, of all people, should know. We've been here before. We're going to go back through history. We got a big show. Hangout 339-1140, 44-1140. Morning Brew is next. Welcome to The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. I feel like I'm looking at the last day post, peeling back the curtain, guys. We have folders that we keep our audio in. I'm on the last one posted, which I just realized is December 13th. Is it in there? Because that is the same clip we played yesterday.
You're in the Drive Daily Audio.
I am in the Drive Daily Audio.
Click the little refresh thing.
I'm going back to the computer here. We've had computer issues, guys. I'm going to new home.
That sort of works still for the first
going to
brew
shows, there. Going to the Drive Daily Audio, 2017 December. There it is. Hey, can you do you have that sounder again?
No, I do. Give me one. Give me one second.
There. Okay, because that was a little
goofy.
This is
good. No, this is good.
That's a good way to start.
I like this.
You said I should get a photo booth at my house for the party.
Yeah, I sure did. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
And that mess up was brought to you by Mattress Firm. Save money.
Sleep happy. It's the same clip. It's actually a different Zach Randolph clip. Was that a promo set to fire?
Boy, was it.
I think we're off to an amazing start. For those listening early, just absolutely killing it. Hey, the Kings and Timberwolves are playing tonight, in case you cared. Game time, 5 o'clock, pregame, 4:30. Kyle, yeah. Would you like to take a guess as to what the line is for today? What is the line?
Kings, I like this game.
At the Timberwolves. Timberwolves.
Timberwolves. The Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves. Or as kids say, they say wolf, they say woof.
The T-dubs.
T-dubs are favored, of course, by blank.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to say they're favored by 5.5.
5.5. You know what? I'm usually pretty generous with my dings and my buzzers. I'm going to give you a buzzer on this one because they're favored by 9.5.
Wow.
Yeah. How
about
that?
That's a definite buzzer. 4 points, way too much.
Yeah, 4 points is that's almost half off.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to bet on this one a little bit later today. Again, pregame 4:30, tip off 5, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Is my thoughts.
Colts and Broncos tonight.
Colts and Broncos, Thursday Night Football.
I don't think there's a game I've been less interested in this year than this one.
See future Hall of Famer Frank Gore tonight.
Great point. That's the only reason to tune in.
I mean,
Frank Gore said he's not ruling out trying to play next year.
I think he should.
Yeah, he's not even gotten to the point of his career where he goes to a team as like a sometimes third down back where he gets 100 carries in a year.
He wants the whole thing.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll ever, if the only way a team will sign him is a team says, yeah, you'll be our third running back, we'll get you 6 carries a game, I think he would rather retire than do that.
We'll talk about this more in four down territory, in which I'll tell you really, I tried to come up with, I think, the only interesting thing about this game. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the game whatsoever. It has to do with the teams. Has nothing to do with the game whatsoever. That's at 7:17. I'll let you figure that out. Number 3. I don't know how much you could hear of that because it was Scott Boras. Oh, Groves. Scott Boras. That was talking in a crowded room. He called the Marlins a pawn shop. Basically, it's what he called them. As the Marlins continue to sell things off. Marcell Ozuna gone now. He will go to the St. Louis Cardinals. They have released Edison Volquez and owe him $13 million. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton is gone, and they will continue. We will talk about this a little bit more, a little bit later on in the program, but this is something we've seen before, and it gets the same reaction every single time, but history will show that maybe the Marlins aren't as stupid as they look, even though it's Derek Jeter running the whole thing. I wonder, do you think here's a joke that's never been used before. Do you think the players that got traded from the Marlins, do you think they got a Derek Jeter gift basket when they left?
I think you might be in the thousands.
Thousands.
Maybe not the millions.
Okay, but the thousands.
To have made that joke. Yeah.
We'll take a break. When we get back, my goodness, we have some shakeups at the bottom of the power rankings. And we'll tell you where the Kings hang out. Break up the Bulls, everybody. Take a quick look at the draft, which is 6 months away. And take a quick look at the game tonight. Kings and Timberwolves coming back next in 3. Sports 1140 KHDK. Someone on the text line asked, it's a great question, too. Hey, are you guys doing Star Wars giveaways? Listen, I'll stand in front of our promotions crew. Star Wars not doing giveaways. We did to The Force Awakens. We did the whole premiere and all that. They're not doing them. Nah, sucks. It's not us. It's not us at all. Just not doing them. What are you giving me that look for?
That just sucks.
Oh, okay. You were giving me a look like, dude, you can't say anything. It's like, wait, no. Is there some secret or something?
No, I'm just saying that sucks.
Listen. Here's what I wonder. If I own the franchise, if I'm Bob Star Wars, and I own all of that, I have often wondered this. How much is, Kyle, have you seen?
Jim Star Wars Jim, now. Bob Star Wars retired.
I apologize. Have you seen any commercials for Star Wars over the last few weeks, like trailer or anything
trailer?
Like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, have you?
I seek them out.
Have you seen it? So you've seen a lot. Why do they do any of that?
Like the promotion stuff?
At all.
Well, what you'll see with Star Wars, they just put a trailer out.
But no, they've also got like the Nissan commercial, and they've got a few, I've seen it in print.
Oh, it's just, that's just normal.
Campaign.
That's just regular movie promotion.
You're exactly right. My point is, why? Are people not going to know?
No, so kids see it and continually bug their parents to make sure they go. And
I imagine the difference between you could put out on the official Twitter account the release date of the movie and just retweet it every week and have that be your entire advertising campaign. And the difference in people attending the movie versus if you did the campaign they're doing now would be pretty much negligible. Negligible. It's going to break damn near every single record there is for openings. Nobody's going to be like, oh, I forgot the damn Star Wars movie was coming out. I didn't see the trailer. Well, why even put out a trailer? You know what? Here's your trailer. Nothing. Here's the logo. Which, by the way, it's great news for Star Wars fans before we get to this bull stuff. You will, by the time the next movie rolls around, you will now see the Fox fanfare once again. The 20th century, you know, dun dun dun, yeah. Dun 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 dun, you know, you're going to see that before the movies now, because Disney and Fox have agreed this morning to Disney's buying Fox, the movie franchise and all that. So now they bring that into the fold, add that in with Star Wars, because, you know, that was always the thing. So there will be one movie, The Force Awakens, that doesn't have the Fox fanfare. And I imagine, Kyle, they will reinsert that into all future showings. So now you have that perfect transition into the Star Wars a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
That opens tomorrow. You probably are thankful I told you that Star Wars opens tomorrow, because you probably didn't know.
Yeah, I know. I know. There wasn't a lot of fanfare around it.
Hey, Kyle, not a lot of Star Wars going on in Chicago. They don't have a lot of stars.
Great point.
Thanks. Lori Markkinen comes in and...
There is forward wars, though.
There were, but they're all friends now, aren't
they? Yeah.
They're all friends. You're talking about Nikola Mirotic and I always want to call him Clinton, Bobby Portis. They're you know, they're fine. And, hey, break up the Chicago Bulls, as they have won four straight. They went to Charlotte and beat the Hornets. They beat the Knicks at home. They crushed the Celtics.
I posted a screenshot of that score because I had taken a nap and done some other stuff, and I checked scores and I see the Bulls blew out the Celtics, and somebody goes, well, nobody played for the Celtics. And then someone else said, Kyrie sat. Okay, and I checked, Kyrie sat.
Yeah.
Al Horford played.
Jason Tatum played. Marcus Smart played. Jaylen Brown played.
Right. Kyrie was the only one. And someone else said, well, Kyrie didn't play, so Kyrie Irving does not make the Bulls 23 points better than the Celtics.
Yeesh.
That was a weird win for the Bulls.
That was a crazy
win
for
the Bulls. No matter what way you slice it.
And now break up the Bulls, as we said, because they have climbed out of the NBA cellar, as they are now a full game ahead of the Atlanta Hawks, who have the worst record. They have the worst record in the NBA, but do own a 54-point lead at one point over the Sacramento Kings. Then you've got the Grizzlies, the Mavericks, the Suns. And then the Kings are 1.5 games clear of the Suns, sitting in the sixth spot, and just a game behind both the Magic and the Hornets. game and a half behind or ahead of, depending on how you want to put it, the Lakers. It's interesting. They're in line to pick six. Then we know this generally doesn't work that way, although the NBA is trying harder to make it work that way. Kyle, you asked a question last night in our prep wars on the Google Drive sheet.
I like that that's wars.
It is.
We're
going back and forth and stuff. Is that a good compromise between people who want an all-out tank and people who want to try to win?
Yeah, so my question was, because tankathon.com is great.
Yes, it is.
They have like the draft order, and it's very easy to see who has what pick, who has whose pick, gives you percentages, all that. Anyways, so I was looking at that, and I was wondering if the sixth spot, that area, is good enough for Kings fans that, okay, they still got a good draft pick. Let's say they end up picking sixth, where they still get a good draft pick, but they weren't the top pick. They weren't the worst team in the league. And at what point is it too many wins where it's like, where you're not able to turn those mid to late first round pick or a mid to late first round pick into a more quality asset? Or does it not matter?
I tend to be on the more hardcore side of things. It's fairly black and white to me. In my mind, if you're not gunning for the playoffs, if you're not legitimately gunning for the playoffs, I'd rather you have the number one pick in the draft and be the worst team in the league. It's not a lot of middle ground for me. I don't put as much stock like other people do in the difference between, for example, right now, the difference between the worst team in the league and the Sacramento Kings is 3 wins.
Right.
Okay. I'd much rather have the lottery balls to pick first or be in the game than those 3 wins. Now, towards the end of the year, that's going to extend, obviously. We're a third of the way through the season, let's say, or almost a third of the way. So you got to think those 3 wins will be 9 wins. Well, that's a different story. I like seeing wins. Of course, wins are better than losses. It's fun. We get to talk about it. But in the big scheme of things, to me, if you pick number one and you end up getting a franchise player, the next year people say, "Well, you gotta learn how to win. You have to build confidence. You have to learn." No, you know what? You don't. You have to get a franchise player, and then the next year when you're winning, you're not going to go, "Well, they would have won more if they just won 3 more last year and learned more how to win."
But if the exchange is, let's say De'Aaron Fox flips a switch and averages 18-9 the rest of the way.
Sure.
Just picking numbers. And Scal figures it out and Willie gets comfortable in a more traditional big man role. And all the young guys start playing really well and they wind up picking 12th. Would that be that upsetting if the sacrifice of a top pick means your young guys are playing very well?
And welcome to today's The Drive question, and we'll phrase it like this. Would you rather the Sacramento Kings this year be the worst team in the league and get the number one pick in the draft? Or would you rather the Sacramento Kings win 30-35 games this year because the youth began to excel and in the second half of the year led them to, let's say, somewhere in the neighborhood of a 500 record post-All-Star break? Which would you rather have in your hand come June?
And we asked this before the season. We asked a very similar question before the season. But it's different once the games start. It's different once you see the team in action and you get frustrated by the little things that losing teams do.
And to be clear, what we're asking here is this is not Zach Randolph scoring 22 a game and Vince Carter finding his youth.
Right.
This is not Costa Kufis coming in going 10-10. This is not that. This is, as you said, De'Aaron Fox doing 18-7 tonight. This is Scal Labissiere having the occasional 30-point game like he did last year and showing off. This is Willie Cauley-Stein even going 16-10, 17-10, whatever it may be. This is Justin Jackson having a couple of 20-25-point games. This is Frank May. You get my point. The key to the question is 30-35 wins. You're now picking in the low teens, but you were a 500 team after the All-Star break on the backs of the youth. Would you rather, as a Kings fan, go into next year with that Or would you rather have the number one pick in the draft and a lot of questions?
For me, we got a break. But
for me, we got a break. Fine.
Yeah,
Let's do it.
We got to get the heck out of here.
Okay. I understand.
I have a theory on this.
Do you? Let's continue that theory. We're back shortly. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We got to talk about something Aaron Rodgers said yesterday I might have a little bit of a problem with. Paul George returned to Indianapolis and why Kings fans are pointing out that Kings fans are the best in the world based on Paul George in part returning to Indianapolis. I'll give you that connection and we'll look for answers to that question. Would you rather be the worst team in the league and have the number one pick at the end of the year, or would you rather be .500 after the All-Star break, pick in the low teens, and be led by your youth? We're back in four. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. We're going to do college trivia at 8:30. What do I mean by that? We have a couple of four packs we got to get out to the NCAA doubleheader. And it's a AA doubleheader. Golden One Center, December 21st, Kansas, Stanford, Sac State, Portland. So what we're going to do, Kyle, I'm going to try to do this, and it's going to probably crash and burn miserably, is I'm going to try to get two contestants on the phones. This is at 8:30, so relax right now. It's in 2 hours. Set your alarm. And then having them buzz in, the old radio trick, having them buzz in by using their names. And I'm going to go through rosters and I'm going to read off, let's say, 10 NBA players. And at the end of the 10, whoever has guessed that NBA player's alma mater the most wins the tickets. That makes sense, right? It's a pretty easy, straightforward contest. We'll do that at 8:30. The question we asked you going into the break at 339-1140 and at 44-1140, and this is the question of the day. As a Kings fan, would you rather be the worst team in the NBA this year and have the number one pick when it's all said and done, number one pick in the draft? Or would you rather the youth rise up, this team go, let's say, .500 post-All-Star break, and you finish with 30, 35 wins, somewhere in that range, and you're picking around 12, 13, something like that. Which position would you rather be in? I asked resident sports expert Tom Maley from the Pat and Tom Show over at our sister station, KNCI. And his response was he'd rather see the wins. He's tired of high draft picks. And he did ask me, though. He said, how many times, you know, it seems like we have the number one pick in the draft every other year, and it never pans out. To which, you know, my response, it's an easy mistake. But we've had the number one draft pick once in franchise history. That was Purvis Ellison. I believe the second highest we picked was number three. You had Billy Owens. Number four was, I believe, Tyreek Evans.
What's the point of having the top pick next year? If all of your draft picks from this year are so bad that you got the top pick?
Well, so bad in the sense that, I mean, first off, if they're that bad, they're that bad. I would counter and say, well, two things. Number one, either all the draft picks are still a ways away from developing and you have to be patient, or worst case scenario, all these draft picks suck. They're never going to pan out. Now you really need that number one pick. Now you need that number one pick more than you did before.
Right.
So that
so
kind
why
of
would
answer.
You rather? Why would you rather them not play very well down the stretch here? over the final two-thirds of the year.
I don't know that I'd rather. Because, again, if they play well down the stretch, well, okay. Now you know they're developing. But they're also really young. And there is something to the idea of if you're the Kings, maybe there is something to it. Like, if I'm Vlade Divac, maybe what I decide, maybe, I think what we're really trying to get to with this question, Kyle, is playing Monday morning quarterback, maybe they shouldn't assign any of the veterans. Maybe every lineup this entire year should have consisted of all the youth.
Average age, 20.
Exactly. And you throw them out there, and they play 82 games, and they're horrible. But they're horribly young and experienced, and they're going to lose, but you're going to develop them. You're putting mileage on their odometer. But you still suck. Because I would imagine by the end of the year, if they were to retain the veterans all year long, which I do not believe they will, that's probably going to mean at least 5 to 8 wins. The veterans alone will win them 5 to 8 games by the end of the year. From the 5-3-0, obviously the 5 to 8 range picks haven't worked out in the past. When's the last time we had a top 3 pick? Huge difference. I believe I think we've had Purvis Ellison at 1, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm at the top of my head here. I think Purvis Ellison at number 1. I know that's our only number 1 pick. I'm pretty sure the only time we've ever picked number 3 was Billy Owens out of Syracuse. I think that's the only time we've ever had a top 3 pick. From the 209, I'd rather the players play to win so they can continue to progress together. They can also continue to strive to win instead of getting used to losing. I mean, maybe part of how, maybe part of thinking about how this works is if you also visualize that pick. For example, forget saying, oh, the number one pick. Why don't we visualize it? Would being the worst team in the NBA as opposed to winning 30 games be worth Marvin Bagley? Would it be worth DeAndre Ayton? Would it be worth Luka Doncic? Would that be the case? Somebody said, hey, look at the last 5 number one picks. Fultz, Simmons, Towns, Wiggins, Bennett. Have any of those guys led their team to the playoffs? I'll step in. Listen, it's a great point. I can't say anything about Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz still might be a Hall of Famer. We don't know. And there's no way I'm judging this guy off of like one NBA game. Not going to happen. Bennett was an absolute bust. That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Worked out okay for Cleveland, but that's a no-brainer. Wiggins, that's interesting. Wiggins is like right there on the fence. He's obviously a fantastic NBA player, a scorer, and still very young.
If the Kings can find a player like Andrew Wiggins, they're set.
Okay, I agree.
Okay.
So if you were telling me right now, if the question got changed to you can either win 30 to 35 wins and have the youth lead and all that, or you're going to be guaranteed to get a player of the caliber of Karl-Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons, or Wiggins, then now that's an easy answer for me. Then I'm saying tank away. If I know I'm getting Ben Simmons or I'm getting Karl-Anthony Towns, that type of player.
So you're fine with this being a wasted year?
I'm fine with...
And with there being zero, not zero chance, but the chance of your young guys panning out the way you thought they would?
I think we go into next year. I think De'Aaron Fox is 20 years old. I think that Justin Jackson's 21. I think Frank Mason's still 23. I think you still have a lot of youth. And I disagree with the premise that it would be a wasted year if you come out with Ben Simmons or Karl-Anthony Towns, that type of player. I disagree with that because arguably those players are going to be better than anybody we have right now.
I'm talking about from a fan perspective who's been told this is a rebuild, it's slow.
Sure.
And now all these guys that you were just rebuilding with give you a terrible year.
Okay. And I know we got a break. Then let me turn it around on you, Kyle, and we'll talk about this in the next break. Do you think we would be better next year with this roster plus a Towns or Simmons type, regardless of how this team does this year, or worse next year? Because if the answer is we'd be better next year.
There are not a lot of players in NBA history who, and I know there are exceptions.
Sure.
But there are not a lot of players in NBA history who are bad in their first year, their first 2 years, and then develop into high quality players on a championship team.
We'll take a break. When we get back, your phone calls. Aaron Rodgers, he's not here to save the team. That's what he said. And Paul George goes back to Indy. And we got to get to, by the way, is playing with Russell Westbrook a bad thing?
Yes.
A bad thing. We'll explore all that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.